You know, okay, let's go back and look at this again. Just take another look. All right, verse 20. Well, let's go back to verse 18. He said, all the women, children that have not known a man by laying with him, keep alive for yourselves. Now watch this. And do ye abide without the camp 7 days? Whosoever hath killed any person, and whosoever has touched any slain, purify both yourselves and your captives on the third day and on the seventh day. Now this is very important. They had a protocol if you were unclean, what you had to do. Killing people will cause you to be unclean. And he said, and purify all your raiment, your clothes, and all that is made of skins, and the work of the goat's hair, and all things made of wood. And Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war which went to the battle, this is the ordinance of the Lord. This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. This is very important. The modern mind don't think about purifying things. We're washed in the blood. But as for our possessions, listen to what he said. Only the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and the tin, and lead, everything that may abide the fire, you should make it go through the fire. And it should be clean. Nevertheless, it should be purified with the water of separation, and all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through the water. And you shall wash your clothes on the seventh day, and you should be clean. And afterward, you should come into the camp. I love the protocols of God. When people have unusual problems, if you seek the Lord and ask him questions, he'll show you things that you overlook. And just like when there was a drought in David's day, David would ask the Lord, why is there a drought? And he said, Saul broke covenant, the covenant of Joshua, with the Gibeonites. And then they had to deal with it. So this is, when we receive money, I don't want to receive money from anybody. Because I've known pastors that had people that would, they try to control the message. Deacon boards, that's a good example. Bro, pastor, we don't want to talk about sin. We don't want to talk about homosexuality or whatever it is they like. We're just going to skip all that. And if the pastor do his job, they want to vote him out. And also, sin would leaven the whole church. The whole church, you just have a church full of witches. Rebellion, fornication, adultery. It won't even be a church anymore. And the next generation will be worse. And then the people will be like weeds, gone to seed. So it's the enemy is looking for something to start a problem. Now, they had to purify the possessions that they took. And so now they're in the camp. See, people that just come out of Egypt, there's no concept. You know, they're looking at the prize. Hey, it take a long time to earn enough money to buy a donkey. The possessions they had, the tools that they took, the things made of metal. You know, that stuff cost a lot of money. It was very valuable, and they wanted it. So when they took all this stuff, it made them wealthy in a way. They could do more work. They could irrigate the ground. But whatever it was, it helped them in their daily life. Very valuable. But the problem was the people that it came from had wickedness. And when you work for something and you have wickedness, these things are attached to your life. That's why they had to burn it with fire. Now, I don't know all the law of this, but I see that because they pointed it out, it's important. God don't do anything for nothing. So when I receive money from anybody, I want it to be clean. In other words, there's no need to break protocol with God. And I ask the Lord to guide me in life. You know, I'm not one of these that's afraid of the devil and everything's a devil. You know, you get people that's not balanced. But anything that God points out is important. And you got to have balance. And I pointed out earlier that people that are blessed as a mechanic, people that just love God, I know for a fact their vehicles last longer than normal. And people that are wicked, I don't care what they buy, you cannot fix it. I said earlier, you can't fix the car of a drug dealer. Stuff that they own, I see why Moses told him to burn, take it through the fire. It's important. Okay, God thinks of everything. I'm just using this to show. The Lord thinks of everything. There's no need to take a false step. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to take a false step. Everything that's not like you has got to go. If you serve God with a pure heart, you're less likely to get in trouble or fall in traps. You're less likely to be leavened somewhere. And Satan is looking for a place to leaven us. Everything about me, I want it to be worship and I want it to be yielded to the Lord. Everything I own, everything I do, I understand I'm not my own. I had to learn, don't put your will first. People don't, they love their will. That's all they know. So they love their will. That's what they know. That's where they feel secure. But sometimes our will is full of illusion. That's where the fears hide. You can have hidden fears and you can't. I had a problem prospering. Not because I was lazy and didn't work. I could only see myself doing so much. And I would cause myself to. I know it sounds weird. But the way a man is in his heart, so is he. And somebody would say, yeah, but you've been called to be an apostle. Well, that's I have that anointing. That anointing works fine. There's nothing wrong with it. God gave me that office. It's just a grace. But that don't mean that you're going to do everything that makes sense. That don't mean that you're going to be perfect in every way. That's just an office. If you want to grow as a person from glory to glory, you have to receive the word of God just like everybody else. But, you know, you have God's ability for a specific reason. It's a grace. I started out saying that God can cause you to speak beyond your years. You will look intelligent. Sometimes you feel intelligent, but you know that you're not. You're just a man that's serving God, and God is helping you serve Him with the office and with the anointing. And that's, I don't care how much you learn, how far we go, the Lord can say something and say, wow, I never saw that before. You can do some good, but for your own life and training and your own purposes, things that you want to do, even though God have done great miracles and wonderful things throughout my life, about 10 years ago, I had a problem. I would make so much money, and then I have barely enough. Every month the same thing. I said, Lord, something ain't right. I tithe, I do what you said do over here. But I struggled. At the end of the month, I don't make enough to cover quite everything, or sometimes I do. And sometimes, every now and then, I get ahead, and most of the time, I got to decide which bill I'm going to pay. Now, you know, I did have a lot going out. My insurance got doubled. I had to pay child support in those days. But I was looking, beyond that. I was expecting greater things. But nevertheless, this is what I'm trying to say. When I went to the Lord about it, He gave me wisdom. He said, every morning before your foot hits the ground, command your angels to bring you cash. Okay, I did that, and it worked. But while I was praying again another time, I can't remember which happened first. But I think what happened first was he said, never worry about money in my presence. And so I had to stop doing that. You can pray for money, and I was actually worrying about it. I didn't realize it. It was a hidden fear. And because I was worrying about it, I was the concern and the worry and that kind of fear that was hidden. I didn't know it because I didn't think I was in fear. I didn't mean to be. But yet, I could only believe so much. I was limiting God. I was limiting myself. Then the Lord taught me not to do that. I said, well, I can't go in his presence with worry, which means don't ever worry, because I live in his presence. I prayed about that years ago. I talked about it in other broadcasts. I'm always in his presence. So that means stop worrying about money. And then I learned to take a break. I wouldn't stop until I made a quota amount that I had in my mind. And I wouldn't rest until, and that wasn't healthy for me or my wife. And I got over that, you know, things that were hidden, the Lord helped me see it. I didn't see it. When there's a leaven somewhere, it blinds you from what's really happening. But when you ask the Lord, he'll expose it to you. And some people live in that confine and without challenging it. I believe in breaking through. I went to an ICFM meeting, and the guy, he had a paper. He wrote on there, Mr. Breakthrough. This was years ago. And he gave everybody a piece of paper, had a card, said, Mr. Breakthrough. We are designed to break through. When there's something, when things are not going biblically, find out why. Don't take no for an answer. If God gave it to you, it's yours. Now, some things in life, he helped me master. Some things I'm still working on. A man can have a gift of healing and get people healed. But for his own healing, he still got to believe God. That's just how it is. A man can be very wise, gifted in wisdom. But for his own life, he has to receive wisdom from God, just like everybody else. God can cause you to, on one end, you know, the Holy Spirit upon, rivers of living water will flow out of you. And God will cause you to say what's necessary. That doesn't mean you know what, you're an expert at it. Through the anointing, you can be introduced to something new. That happens often. But I ask the Lord to teach me about it. The well of water springing up in the everlasting light, the Holy Spirit within. I ask the Lord to help me understand, help me get it. Then I can use it in my life and become a master again in that area. Now, ultimately, it's my goal to become a master in everything that God gave me. But, I'm on my way. Something, big problems that were bigger, I mastered those. Problems that are not as relevant, I deal with the big ones first, then I get to the smaller ones later. But the hindrances, I said, Lord, I always say, I got a problem. How are we going to kill it? I don't believe in living with anything that's of the world. I don't believe in satanic things hindering my life. That's unnecessary. And I don't want to have any worldly appetites. I don't want to have any worldly influences. Anything that's of leaven. I noticed that when people are leaven, they don't see how to get out. They don't see their way out. Because the world is designed, it's entrapment. You're in it, but you don't see the exit door. But when you receive the light of God's word, you don't need to see the exit door. You just blast the whole thing. And the world can't trouble you. When people get into pornography, things like that, they get in, they can't see themselves any different. They believe the lie that they need this on the outside to make them whole. But the things of the world, they're not fulfilling. It's entrapment. You have to disconnect from it. And you have to hate it. And I said, everything that's like Satan, it's got to go. Or I hate everything that's of the world. I hate it. So I have no appetite for it. But if you go and fool with it, you'll begin to have appetite again. Leave it alone. It's easier. But when you love the word of God and his righteousness, you fulfill from the inside out. And you don't need the darkness. The darkness can't fulfill you anyway. Now, looking at these things, learning, I love to learn. Consider the things that Jesus said. There are many problems. Moses showed them the protocol, how they had to purify what they took and what they decided to keep. They had to kill all the women that lay with them. That would have been another problem for another day. That would have been the second wave. That would have turned into much worse than the first one. And though they were killing people, they were also, the people, when they killed those people, they were killing 11. And the crowd saw how important it is not to commit fornication and adultery. They had compassion for the people and the boys that they had to kill and the young girls that they had to destroy. Justice. Because if it would have continued, it would have leavened the whole camp. This is why the Lord had to destroy Satan in fire. And everything that fell with him in fire. God, how come God didn't freeze him in hell? He did the best. God always chooses the best thing. The fire of God, the fire of hell is the wisdom and justice of God. That's how you destroy sin. Burn it forever. It won't stop being sin just because it's on fire. That's where you contain it. That's how to contain it. Justice. Now I want God's grace and mercy, and I want to live like him. He died for me to live like him, not like the world. And I don't even want to remind God of the world in my ways. I want everything I do in my life to be worship. And I want it to be clean, something that will honor him. And guess what happens to fear? It's gone. Perfect love casts out fear. You don't have to live with dread, fear, unbelief, pockets of worry like I was doing. I didn't know it was there. If I knew it was there, I'd have killed it. When I knew it was there, I started working on it. And then guess what happened to my vision? It went up. I couldn't see myself making but so much money. Now I can see myself making an abundance. Then he gave me a protocol. I wasn't charging enough. And I never wanted to be the guy that take advantage of people. Just because, you know, I know about cars and others don't. And, you know, people don't know if you overcharge. I don't want to be that guy. Then I don't have as much overhead as other shops. I don't have to charge as much. So I consider all those things. If I had a shop, I'd have to charge more. And I probably should charge more than I'm doing, but God gave me a protocol, and as I stick with it, it works. And if I give in and don't charge enough, then I have problems. He said, if you don't charge enough, I'm going to work against you. And he told me why. It's not fair to your family. You got a family you got to take care of. And I want to support my church. You have to. This is your life. This is your time. Your time is my time. Charge. So I love balance. That's just the way it is. But nevertheless, listen to what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7. I love what he said. Before I get to where I was going, I'm going to start at verse 7. He said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds, And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, talking to the Pharisees, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would, or whatever you wish for, that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now watch verse 13. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go that way, which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Then he said this, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They are leavened, they believe the leaven, they can't get out, they can't see their way out, they're trapped in it. And they mimic the things of God. And this is not scripture, I'm just explaining how they are. And they can't produce fruit. They're fruitless. They're always fruitless. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Before Balaam was a soothsayer, he was a prophet. He brought forth good fruit till he started being leavened. Then he got corrupted. That's not necessary. You have to stay clean. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Justice. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now watch this. Some people allow themselves to be leavened. And you don't have to realize that you're leavened. If you're leavened, you're leavened. And then you got this problem. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And Balaam did wonderful works. When I read the discourse, I didn't see where he went wrong. The Lord had to help me connect the dots. In verse 23 and 21, that's when he gave him the clue. He gave Balak the clue. He messed up. Oops. And then that was an aftermath. Hey, they don't always realize when you're leavened, if you don't minister, if you don't handle holy things with a pure and clean heart, something will go wrong. You have to stay in the love of God. I don't know another way to do it. I don't know a better way to do it. And you have to hate darkness. You have to hate the world system. He said, John said, love not the world. That means hate it. If you don't love it, you hate it. God gave me a broadcast many weeks ago called Holy Hatred. And that's what he was talking about. You don't just love God, you have to hate the world too. Read 22 again. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now that is not necessary. I don't want that to happen to anybody that I know or anybody that I don't know. I want everybody to love God and hate the world and go to heaven and run Satan's behind right on out of business. He don't need to be in business anymore. Not where we're concerned. Everybody that gets saved, it don't really matter how the end times turns out. It's sealed. The rapture's going to come when it's supposed to. It's going to come according to the wisdom of God. The timing and everything will be perfect. You can be confident in that fact no matter how people read it, see it, teach it, believe it. But being dogmatic about it can be divisive and problematic, because God is going to, I realize something. The Lord sealed it where it can't be figured out perfectly, but it will be done in wisdom. That I can bank on. But you're an apostle. You're supposed to know. John sealed it. He was an apostle that sealed it, and it's sealed. Anybody to tell you dogmatically, they got to see John. They got to get approval from the Holy Ghost. Charles Capps said that it's time release revelation. It's going to happen. Now, he said that was right. You know, I noticed something. All the ministers I love, whether they get something wrong, they're going to get something right. Now, Charles Capps got that part right. It's time release revelation. Pastor Lankford, he said something too. I love to listen to Pastor Lankford and Steve Quayle. I call him a miracles pastor. He bringing people back out of that dead doctrine that people, that seeker friendly. He remind me of my pastor in a lot of ways. But he said that the rapture come just before the vial judgments that God's going to pour out. And I think he owns something. We don't have to worry about Satan. Jesus put him under our foot. We just got to keep him there. And that's our responsibility. If we let him, he that letteth will let. If the church go to sleep and fall away, then he'll start killing Christians. But if you say something, if you take authority over him, he can't. But the part that God is going to remove us from, the Lord put it to me this way. He said, the rapture has nothing to do with the tribulation, and the tribulation has nothing to do with the rapture. And this is, I know this is a little aside, but when he said that, I said, And I know it was him, I know his voice. A few days later, he said, I was asking him about it. He said, the rapture is redemption, tribulation is destruction. Okay, and I got it. When God get ready to judge, there's no reason for the church that love him to be here. Satan has been put under our foot, the trumpets, the other judgments. They, you know, we can handle him. We can stop him if we want to. You know, World War I was the first trumpet. World War II, I believe Irvin Baxter got that right. World War II was the second trumpet. That was plausible. That made sense. Now, back to what we were saying. Many people will come to the Lord saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. They got leavened and they did nothing about it. If you know you're into something wrong, ask God to help you kill it and clean it up. Repenting is more than just a one-time prayer. You have to learn things. You have to receive information to fully repent. You have to learn to hate it. You have to decide to hate it. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house on a rock. And you know the story. The wise man that built his house on a rock, when the storms of the world blow, he still stands. But people who allow, they build their house on sand. You can build it fast and quick and pretty, just as pretty as the one on the rock. But when the winds come, it's coming down. Just like all the people who are going to come to the Lord saying, Lord, Lord, have we not we done this, we done that. But you built your house on sand. You let the leaven grow. You're not even like me anymore, Jesus will say to them. I never knew you. So it's very important to follow the protocols of God. God is right. And he's going to help us win. He loves us so much, and he always will. And he's doing great things in our favor. In Luke chapter 16, and I close with this. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of your stewardship. For thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one his lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. Said unto him, take thy bill, write 40. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. The children of the world, they know how their system works and they operate it. We have to learn how to work the kingdom of God. The focus is not on what this unjust steward did. It's on this verse 8. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And we need to become as wise as we can be to get rid of all forms of leaven and learn how the kingdom of God works. It works by love. Everything. No love, no kingdom. But the kingdom of God works by the love of God. You cannot fail with the love of God. If you do it God's way, if you love his will, his ways, his people, and also you hate the world system, you're going to learn the protocols of God, do them, and you're going to advance without limit. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.